Alright, today we are going to postpone our end time series, and I think, is it tomorrow that is Christmas? Yeah, 25th. But, you know, what I'm going to do today is, I'm going to give a topical subject that is going to be applicable for the season, and also there will be gospel in it, and also it's a little different than most of my sermons, okay? And I'm going to talk with him from my heart. And the topic that I would give today is my worst enemy and my best friend. My worst enemy and my best friend. If I ask you, who is your worst enemy? I'm sure it's not your husband, not your children, could be somebody at work, or I don't know. I ask you, who is your worst enemy? And probably you may have the answers, but another thing is whether you can live up to those answers. My most enemy is sin. Sin is my worst enemy. The most deceptive thing of sin is, sin doesn't look bad outside. What I mean is, sin doesn't look ugly. Sin doesn't look wicked. Sin doesn't look devilish. Sin looks very beautiful. It looks innocent a lot of times, and also sin looks very pleasurable to the flesh. Sin doesn't come to me as an enemy. But sin comes to me as a friend. That's the worst part of it. It doesn't come as an enemy. Sin comes as a friend to give happiness, to give excitement, to give much pleasure to the flesh. And also, the worst thing is the world is not going to expose sin. The world promotes sin, but not as sin. And world promotes it as a friend. But the danger is, it is so dangerous for our souls. Even majority of the churches today will not truly expose sin, because they don't want to lose their members, if they really do. So sin is being compromised and rationalized, and sin has been mixed with the Word of God, and it is so dangerous, especially the world that we are living in. So the worst enemy that I have is sin. How can we thank God for His truth? Because the Word of God has exposed sin. You know, it is the sin, there is power in the Word of God, as the Word of God said in its Word, "Let there be light," God said, and there was light. So there's so much power in the Word of God. God just said it, and it happened. By His spoken word, the heavens and the earth were created, and all the inhabitants. In the same way, I was lost in sin. And I was in darkness, and I was changed to sin, and I was under the bondage of sin, and sin had dominion over me. Sin was ruling my life. Yet, I did not know that I was a sinner. I did not know what sin was. It was just pleasure and enjoyment. And whatever I would like to do, my flesh wants to do, if I can do it, I will do it. And it's okay for me. I was without the Lord, and I didn't have a Savior. I trusted in my own religion. Of course, everybody needs a religion just to do some good works. I was not aware that I was speeding towards hell, to the lake of fire. I was lost. I was in darkness. But God said, let there be light. It was the same spoken word that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it's the same spoken word when I was in darkness, God said, let there be light. And suddenly, my heart was open, and light came into me. I was alive for sin. I realized that I was alive for sin, and I was spiritually dead. I did not know that until God opened my heart. Until God brought life into me and light into my heart. Of course, I was very religious before. But religion was in the flesh. It was an outward, external religion. It was not spiritually inside. Inwardly, I was spiritually dead. One day, there was a spiritual birth. There was a spiritual birth one day. And just like God opened my heart, that was a spiritual birth. In Luke 2:11, you know the scripture, as for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Christ came into the world. Why? Why did Christ come into the world? To save sinners. And I was a chief of sinners, the worst sinner in the whole world. I was a hypocrite. I was a religious sinner. I was a wicked sinner. I was a secret sinner. I was a sinner that I realized that worst sinner who I ever lived. But I praise God that Christ came into this world to seek and to save those who were in sin. And now I praise God for Christ's birth to this world as heaven came down to this earth in Christ's birth. God in His own mercy, He sent His own Son to be the Savior for our sins. Jesus was born to die. He was born to take our sins upon Him. He took the punishment that we deserve, and He took the punishment for our sins, and He carried the cross, and He gave His body as a sacrifice. His body was pierced, crucified for our sins. He took the wrath of God that really should come upon us, and Jesus took that wrath of God. And He took the fierce punishment of God. And the other hand, when you and I, when we truly repented, Christ in His mercy, in His grace, in His love, He imputed His righteousness, His holiness to us. He never forgot His covenant with Abraham. Because now we are called the children of God. And who is my best friend? Christ is my best friend. Jesus is my best friend. Why is He my best friend? Because He saved me from sin. He saved me from going to hell. And He gave me life, eternal life, and He has shown He is not now that I become a child of God. Christ brought me back to the Father. He is my best friend because He took my place on the cross. Who can ever do that? He is my best friend because He is coming back again. He is my best friend because He gave me the Word of God, eternal Word of God. He is my best friend because I can call upon His name anytime and He is there. He is my best friend because I can fellowship with Him. He is my best friend because He is my Lord and my Savior. He is my best friend because he's always there to defend me. He is my best friend because he did not leave me as an orphan, but he sent his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to guide us and lead us. Christ is my best friend who will never leave me nor forsake me as a friend. He is my best friend because even though I can be faithless sometimes, but Christ is going to be faithful. I can trust in Him. He is my best friend because I trust not in my good works to go to heaven, because I have trusted in Christ's work on the cross. He is my best friend forever and ever. John chapter 15 verse 13, the word of God said, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yeah, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is the greatest love. You can see how Christ not only said that he loves us, but he performed it in action. There's an exhibition that was taken place, and that was a very for us, it's not an easy one to look at it. It's the most agonized thing that Christ did, to hang up on the cross and to be crucified. Especially being the Son of God. God became a man and took the sins on upon himself. No other religious leader has ever done that. Not anybody laid their lives for the sake of their people. Christ showed me through his word that my previous friend was sin. That was my previous friend. I didn't even know that. But Christ showed me that my previous sin was an enemy. And also Christ showed me it was just not another enemy, but it was the worst enemy. And also Christ showed me that I was deceived by sin. He showed me all the characters and the nature of sin, which I did not know. I didn't even know what was sin like. And I thought, for years and years, I thought this was a true friend, but it turned out to be the worst enemy. And Christ showed that through his word. Now, as a Christian, I'm not still perfect. None of us are perfect. Still, we are living in a fallen world. Our flesh is still sinful, because this flesh is, we don't still have the heavenly flesh yet. Okay, with the fallen Adamic nature is still there. But I realize there's a war going between my spirit and the flesh. There's a war going on. The desires of the spirit is to grow in the Lord, to read his word, to study his word, to pray and to witness and to fellowship with one another, and to exalt the Lord and praise God and to have communion with Him. And that's the desires of the Spirit. However, the desires of the flesh, on the other hand, entices me to enjoy the pleasures of the world. It tempts me to sin. There are temptations all around me. The more I want to serve and to worship Christ, the more temptations come my way. This shows there is nothing good in this flesh. Absolutely nothing dwells good in the flesh. It is evil to the core. If I fall into sin, it is not that I do, but sin in my flesh that dwells in me, does it? The flesh is the worst enemy that dwells within me. When we do sin, oh, how we feel so sorrowful and exceedingly angry with this flesh. And we are like Apostle Paul, who said, "Wretched man who I am, who will deliver from this body of death?" And we see that this flesh is wretched, miserable, pitiful. And who is going to deliver us? The answer is, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He conquered death and sin. And He conquered. The flesh was crucified on the cross. And on His resurrection, it was the same Jesus that rose from the dead. But it is not the same flesh. It was a different, it was a heavenly body. Because the earthly body was put to death on the cross. And He rose in His heavenly body. This flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because it is no good. It's sinful. It should perish. But praise be to God that one day this perishable body in the grave is going to put on what? Imperishable. As we will rise up with a heavenly body. The sting of death is sin. But that sin was put to death on the cross by our beloved Savior. My question is, are you fighting with the enemy daily? Do you feel that there is a daily battle that is going on within your spirit versus the flesh? If you do not be discouraged. As the fight belongs to God. Because God is going to be with you. Because He is going to be on our side, on your side. If He is on our side, who can be against us? He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Now if we do sin, there's a great hurt in our soul. There's exceeding pain in our soul if we do sin. Because we have sinned against our beloved Savior. Our best friend. We have sinned against our best friend. And there's mourning and sorrow in a true Christian when a true Christian sins. There's an uneasiness in a true Christian when the true Christian sins. Like the tax collector who sinned against God, what did he do? He beat his arm, he beat himself on his chest and didn't even want to look up at heaven. Because sin hurts. Whenever you sin, it hurts us. It hurts deeply even to our bones. We realize that when we do sin, that we are wounded by the enemy. The Lord Jesus hears, but we cannot stay in our wounds. We can never stay silently forever when we do sin. The true Christian will always, in a godly repentance, will confess his sins to the Lord. And he realized that he is wounded spiritually. And praise God, there is a spiritual doctor who can attend. The enemy will attack us with much condemnation. But we have an advocate with the Father. He hears our true confessions that Christ, the righteous one, is our advocate. And He is not an advocate who has any blemish or any sin. He is called the righteous one. Now I understand. And He is also the doctor, the surgeon, who can heal our wounds. He's the best doctor you can ever have. Now I know the difference between the false friend who wants to destroy my soul and the true friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to preserve my soul. I praise God that the Bible has exposed sin and the Holy Spirit is here to guide us and to convict the true believers of their sins. You know, if the ungodly people, they don't get convicted of their sins. The Christians will get convicted of their sins. And we as Christians, we see the true colors of sin. And also we realize the dangers of sin. We realize that God is a holy God, a righteous God, and He is not going to wink at sin. But sin is going to be punished. The punishment is going to be severe and dreadful in the lake of fire. And it's an eternal punishment. On the other hand, we realize the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. As sin has become so pleasurable to them, they believe, many of them believe there is no punishment, that even if there is one, they can escape punishment by their good works. They are very secure in this world because they live comfortably in this world, and they live very cheerfully in this world. They live pleasurably in this world, and many times they live a careless life, and they don't have any fear of God. They openly and secretly sin against a holy God. Let me give you some warnings against sin. As I said, sin always, a lot of times, always comes as a friend. We need to be very careful. Doesn't look ugly. Doesn't look like a devilish. It doesn't look wickedful. It doesn't look bad. It looks always is beautiful to the eye. Okay, when Eve saw the fruit, it looks very beautiful. There's temptation. That's the way sin comes, as a friend. And sin, it is outwardly, it pleases the flesh. It gives much satisfaction to the flesh. But it is like a secret disease that you don't see outwardly. It's like a cancer that is inside of your body. And what does sin does? It will make you spiritually weak. When somebody has a cancer, what is that person becomes weak and weaker and weaker. But outwardly, they look good. But they lose their strength. That's what sin does spiritually. And when spiritually weak, and then it will stop your spiritual growth. You will not grow in the Lord because there is sin like a disease, like a cancer spreading through your body. Sin will grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Sin will prevent God's grace to flourish in you. Sin is a great obstacle, as sin cannot fellowship with your Lord and Savior. And sin is an open door for Satan to get in. Because when you get into sin, and no confession, and no repentance, but keep on sinning, there's an open door for Satan to get in. And if you do not have a sweet communion with God, it is because God has hidden His face from you because of your sins. You see, and if you say you do not have a thirst for God, it is because you have other thirsts We have other gods that you are thirsting after, because the priority is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have, it could be your children, it could be your wife, your husband, it could be your car, your home, your wealth, drugs, alcohol. It could be worldly movies, pornography, it could be anything you love more than the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so because of these other lovers, covetousness, that your heart follows after them. Your heart is meditating upon these worldly things. These earthly things are always in your heart and in your mind. And the scriptures, the word that says, love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind, all your strength, is not there. It becomes just a religion, a tradition that you hear. If you are a friend of the world and are sin, then God becomes who? Your enemy. God becomes your enemy. Oh, my friend. What a danger if God becomes your enemy. He is going to be your enemy, not a friend. Pleasure seekers, for the sake of the flesh, you will enjoy now. But God's wrath is getting heavier and heavier upon you at any time. That wrath can fall upon you. James 4:4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. And Jesus said in John 15:14, he said, you are my friends. If, there's an if there. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. He didn't say you are my friends. If you do the commandments, then you are my friends. Yes, what is the command? Commandment is to believe in the Lord and to do what He says. Believe in the Lord and to live in the Lord. That is the commandment. Now, every true friendship is based on obedience. Take husband and wife. It's based on faithfulness, trust and obedience. If a husband and a wife, they say they love each other and they are faithful to each other, but let's say if a husband falls in love with another woman or go after another woman, then when the husband comes back home, wife sees that there's something wrong. He doesn't love me anymore. Because the husband loves another woman. Because you cannot trust that man. You have broken your marriage fellowship, relationship, because you have gone after another person. Because you cannot trust. You can say, I love you, just a word. But in action, your love has gone to somebody else. Because true love is based on obedience and trust and faithfulness. It is not only words, but action. That's what it counts. So those who make a profession of friendship and do not do what the commandment says is an enemy. And that husband, as I gave that example, who went after another woman, what happens later? There will be a divorce. That same couple that you loved each other before becomes the greatest enemies. Right? That's happened. You see that all the time. There's an enemy. They loved each other before. Because of disobedience, now they have become enemies. That's what the Word of God says. If we love the world, and if we love other gods, then God becomes your enemy. Therefore, there's an officer who told his soldiers, during the time of war, look at your enemy. They are your enemies and kill them. If you don't kill the enemy, they are going to kill you. A lot of times we see sin as an enemy. We know it is an enemy, but we just want to give time to the enemy. We want to just wait for a while with the enemy. Don't wait, because the enemy will, if you don't kill that enemy is going to kill you. Don't give time to the enemy. Do not have a treaty with the enemy. Do not compromise with the enemy. He is very clever. The enemy is very clever. He's subtle. He's deceiving. Because his flesh is weak. We got to realize, as I said previously, there's nothing good in this flesh. This flesh can fall apart, and it is so deceitful, because the enemy is deceitful. Kill the sin. When you kill the sin, don't be sorrowful in killing the sin. Oh, my beloved sin, it is killed. I can't kill it. And even if you kill the sin, don't feel sorrowful. I can't do that anymore. Don't be like Lot's wife. Huh? Because she loved the world so much, and when she was even fleeing from the wrath of God, but still she wanted to look at the world. Because she was so sorrowful leaving. What happened to her? She became a pillar of salt. So don't be sorrowful in killing the sin. But be glad in killing the sin. Be like Joseph. When Joseph was tempted with a Potiphar's wife, only both of them at the room, Joseph fled. He ran. But he was put in prison, but he was glad that he ran away. He was happy. He ran away from sin. So, when you kill the sin, be happy. Be glad. Soldiers in the field, they always keep watch. They are sober and they keep a watch on their enemy. And if the soldiers are sleeping all the time, the enemy will, you know, come at any time and they will kill the soldiers. So they always keep a watch on the enemy, as the enemy will come when you're not ready. Jesus said, watch and pray. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Pray for inner strength. As we are in a battle, prayer is the watchword. Pray continuously. Don't stop. Pray continuously. When you are tempted, we need to pray in our spirit. Lord, help me. I'm getting tempted. Help me, Lord, that I'm getting tempted. My flesh is weak. I need your help. Pray continuously in your spirit, also in public. How we need to enjoy the sweetness of His grace. If you do enjoy the sweetness of His grace, oh, you can walk closely with God. You can have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He becomes real into your life. He becomes your best friend. And the more closer you have fellowship with the Lord, oh, you don't want to depart from me, because even our hearts are burned. And we are encouraged much when Jesus is in the present. So, it is so important. If He's going to be your best friend, be close to Him. Always be close to Him. Live close to the cross, not close to the world. When you are close to the cross, you taste heaven on earth. And you feel that you are, not only you feel a great confidence in yourself that you're in Christ, but also that you know that Christ loves you and cares for you. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. The worst friend is sin. And the best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.